The reading tonight is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, and this is from the ESV. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?
Hope everyone had a good afternoon. It's certainly good to be here tonight. I guess that's working pretty good. All right, good. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that's going to be our text. Appreciate Dan Brown reading that for us. And Paul, in this particular context, is dealing specifically with the ministry of the apostles. In my ESV, in fact, we have the heading there that says exactly that. But, of course, that was put in by man. We remember that. Your Bible might have a little different heading there. But I want to make the application, that particularly to preachers here tonight. Really, as we look at this again from a technical standpoint, Paul, he's dealing with some things at Corinth, as you remember, false teachers, those who are doubting his apostleship and authority. And so he has to deal with his ministry as an apostle, emphasizing that he is an apostle by the will of God, not simply by the will of man. But when we think of the apostles, we realize that one of their primary obligations was to preach the gospel. So a lot that he says in this context, the words that he uses, the terms that he uses would be applicable to preachers. And really, if we really want to look at this text and open it up, we find that in a sense it is applicable to all of us, to every child of God. But I want to look at it from the standpoint of preachers, and what should your attitude be towards preachers? And what should my attitude be as a preacher with regard to my own preaching? What should the attitude of all preachers be? And what Paul says in this text, again, is something that is very important. Now, he's dealing with this, again, because some people were not receiving his word as they should, and they weren't viewing him the way they should have been viewing him. So what is your view of the preacher? Of anyone who occupies this pulpit and proclaims the word of God. Paul says something about that. He begins by saying, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And certainly that is what every gospel preacher is, and that's how he should view himself, and that's how you should view the preacher. Number one, as someone who is a servant of Christ. Now, that's very important. It's important because the preacher has to recognize that since he is a servant of Christ, Jesus is the one that he is trying to please. And you should want a preacher who has that mentality, who simply wants to please God, who wants to please Christ. Not a preacher who is trying to tickle the ears of someone. Not a preacher that's simply going to preach what you want to hear, but someone who is more interested in pleasing Jesus because he's the master. And remember, Paul is dealing with some individuals who are looking for a variety of things in the preacher, but not necessarily that. The Corinthians are looking for someone who can dazzle them with earthly wisdom. And that's not what they should be looking for. Paul condemns that in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And making that comparison between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. But that's what the Corinthians, and that's what a lot of Gentiles in the first century, they were really interested in that sort of thing. Like, do you know what the poets say and all of that? Are you schooled in the science, in the sciences and that sort of thing? And Paul saying, no, you need to view us as preachers. As leaders, you need to view us, first of all, as servants of Christ. And when a preacher has that mentality, then that's who he wants to please. You remember over in Galatians chapter 1, for example. Notice this question that Paul raises. Galatians chapter 1. And look at verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and at verse 10, Paul writes this. He says, for am I now seeking the approval of man? That's a very important question. And how a preacher can answer that question will say volumes about what kind of preacher he is. And so Paul said, now, am I seeking the approval of man or of God? If I am trying to please man, If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Because you can't have it both ways. Now, what should you want in a preacher? Who, and I'm not necessarily just talking about me, but anyone who ever occupies this particular pulpit. And again, we can extrapolate that to all those who teach Bible classes here and anyone who is disseminating the spiritual seed, the Word of God. What are you looking for? Are you looking for someone who is teaching who simply, again, wants to tickle your ears? Who wants to tell you exactly what you want to hear? Who is more worried about being popular with the people or someone who wants to please God? Paul says, if I'm simply trying to please man, then I'm not a servant of Christ. And we understand, of course, Paul wasn't that. We know how Paul could answer that question. And certainly all of us who preach or teach the gospel of Christ, we should answer it the way we know Paul would. Our answer should be, my main objective is to please Christ. It is to please God. And then he says, not only that, not only are you to regard us as servants of Christ, but stewards of the mysteries of God. And of course, a steward is one who manages someone's household. But the point of it is, he has been given charge of the possessions of someone else. And so Paul's going to talk about that. But notice here the mysteries of God. In Paul's teaching, that almost always, not exclusively, but almost always is referring to the redemptive aspect of God's plan of salvation, the gospel of Christ. When we look over at chapter 2, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2 and at verse 6, Paul says, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. Now, the King James there uses the word mystery. And that is really what Paul is talking about, the gospel. It used to be in the mind of God, locked away in his mind. Nobody knew how God was going to reconcile mankind back to himself. It was all a mystery. But now it was being revealed by the prophets and the apostles of the New Testament. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 just for a moment. Just to establish this, Ephesians chapter 3. And beginning at verse 1, Paul says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And he says this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And so the mystery has to do with the gospel of Christ and how it brings salvation, and how it brings salvation both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, so they can be reconciled together in one body, that is, the church. So back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, this is how you ought to regard us. This is how you ought to view us as stewards of what? Of the gospel of Christ. Now, when you start thinking about a steward, again, as I said a moment ago, a steward has been given charge over the household. So a part of his job is to spread out the food to make sure the family is being fed, and he has to make sure that he is spreading the food out in proper portions, that he's making sure that the people of the household, that they're eating a proper diet and all of that. That's his job, a part of his job. And now that relates to the preaching of the gospel, doesn't it? The gospel preacher's job is to, again, disseminate the spiritual seed. His job is to give food to the flock. Now, really, that's the job of the elder. But in most situations, elders will bring in a preacher to feed the flock. The elders are actually doing it, but they do it through the gospel preacher. Now, we're fortunate here. We have three elders who really do that in two ways. They do it themselves. All of our elders are involved in the teaching program of this local church. So they literally feed the flock themselves. But most elders will bring in to a local congregation like this, will bring in a man to, on a regular basis, preach the gospel to the flock, and it's by that means that they're feeding the flock. So the gospel preacher then has to make sure that as he's preaching to the people, that he's giving them, again, not just what they want, but what they need, that they have a balanced diet, that he's spreading the word out in proper portions to the people of God. That's very important. In other words, you don't want a preacher who is going to come in and preach the same thing only. When I obeyed the gospel of Christ, I sat at the feet of a fellow by the name of J.D. Satterwhite. I can say his name because you don't know him, and you'll probably never ever meet him. But I'll tell you what kind of preacher he was. He preached the same thing week in and week out, over and over and over and over again. Same thing all the time. It was always on denominationalism. Every week. And we said, what denomination would he preach on? It would depend on what visitor you brought. It would depend who was in the audience. If there was a Baptist in the audience, he was preaching on the Baptist church. If it was a Catholic in the audience, he was preaching on the Catholic church. It really wasn't very conducive to growth. And the truth is, as the congregation, we weren't very healthy because we were eating the same thing. It's like feeding a child the same thing over and over, and that's it. We all need a balanced diet, don't we? We know that physically. And spiritually, it's the same thing. And so you want a preacher who is going to be a good steward of the mystery of God, in part by making sure you're getting the food that you need. You don't need only sermons on heaven. You need some sermons on hell. You don't need just sermons on faith. You need some sermons on works. And that you get the idea, you need balance. And that's the job of the steward. And Paul says, this is how you should regard us, as stewards of the ministry of God. Now watch what he says next. He says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That's the most important thing in a steward, isn't it? Remember, he's given charge of the possessions of someone else. That master of the house, the very first thing he wants to make sure of before he ever hires a steward is that this is a man who is reliable. This is a man who is going to be faithful. That's the first thing. As I said earlier, that wasn't really what the Corinthians were interested in. They wanted some other things of a worldly nature. But Paul's telling them, listen, the very first responsibility that I have is to be faithful. And what he is getting at is Paul was going to preach the word. He was going to be faithful to his master. He didn't care what the Corinthians thought about it. Now watch as he develops that. At verse 3 he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. Why? Because Paul knew who his master was. That is very significant. Now, as you read that, you might think, if you're familiar with the teachings of Paul at all, you know that Paul was a man who had feelings. It's not like he's not saying here, I don't care at all what anybody thinks. And I know he didn't mean that, because all I have to do is read some of his epistles, and I see there are times when Paul was disappointed. There was times when Paul was made sad by the reception of his word by several people. You remember in our study of the brethren at Thessalonica that he was thrilled and thanked them because they received his teaching as it was in truth, the word of God. Why did that make him so happy? Because there were a lot of other people who weren't doing that. Like some of those false apostles at Corinth. They were taking his word and they weren't accepting it as having any kind of real authority because they were rejecting his authority. And that saddened Paul. He was upset about that. He sometimes would talk about congregations and writing to them. He would say how much he loved them and how he's disappointed that they didn't completely love him back, at least to the level that he had shown love to them. So the point of it is, Paul cared about people and how they thought about him. But it was a very small thing. That's the point. Preachers aren't robots. I appreciate when you compliment the things that I preach. Believe me, I appreciate that very much. And all preachers do. If a preacher were to tell you, I don't care even a little bit whether you like my preaching or don't like my preaching, I don't care at all, he's probably not telling you the truth. Or else he has just an emotional problem, really. We all care. You care about what other people think about you. And whatever occupation you have, you care about what other people say about how you do your job. That's just a natural thing. The question is, to what level? And there are some preachers who care too much. There are some preachers who are more worried about being popular than they are about pleasing God. And Paul is telling them right now, that's not me. Paul is telling them, when it comes down to you and what you think, he says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you. Because that's what these false apostles at Corinth were doing. They were judging Paul negatively. And he's saying, no, at the end of the day, that hurts my feelings. And I'm not happy about that. But at the end of the day, it's a small thing. And that really should be, it's hard sometimes, but that's the way every preacher should feel. And from your standpoint, you should want a preacher. You should want Bible class teachers that aren't really all that concerned. They might be a little concerned, but not all that concerned about how everybody is thinking with regard to what they teach or preach. Because when you get someone who's only worried about that, you're going to get someone who will compromise. You're going to get someone who, as I've been saying, will just want to make people feel good. Someone who just wants to be popular with everybody and wants everybody to like them. And that's going to affect what kind of spiritual diet you get. And so Paul is saying, this is how you should regard us. We know who we are. We know what we are. We're servants of Christ. We know our responsibilities. We are stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the mysteries of God. And Paul says, listen, I'm just not all that concerned. It's just a very little thing if you judge me. In fact, he goes further than that. He says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. You want a preacher or a Bible class teacher? Anyone in the congregation who is disseminating the word of God, do you want elders in the overseeing you that care about what the world thinks? That are worried about being judged unhappily by secular society? You don't want that, do you? You shouldn't want that. And those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ shouldn't preach simply what's going on in society and what's making everyone happy and just going along with the flow of society. Paul says, I'm not worried at all about human courts. Then he takes it even a step further than that. He says, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. Paul had exactly the attitude that every preacher and every Bible class teacher and every elder should have. He understood that he searched even his own heart. It wasn't anything he was doing that he knew was wrong. He didn't have anything against himself that he knew of. Of course, that's the way it should be with all of us. Like if you know that God has something against you, you better do something about that. And so Paul says, so far as I know, I don't have anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. Because the fact of the matter is, maybe there was something in his life that he was missing. What he knew at the end of the day was, and the reason he says all of this, is because as a servant of Christ, he's not standing before the people to be judged after a while. He's not going to be standing in some human court of law to be judged after a while, and he's not going to be his own judge. There's someone higher that he has to answer to. He says again, but I am not thereby acquitted. And then he says, it is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. He knew Jesus was his master and ultimately his judge. And I would say to you that you need Bible class teachers, preachers, anybody who is disseminating the word, who is fully aware, one day I'm going to stand before Jesus and I'm going to have to give an account of everything that I preached, everything that I taught the local congregation. You want someone who understands that, because then it's more likely that you're going to get book, chapter, and verse preaching. You're going to get less opinion. You're not going to get someone who just wants to make you happy. But someone is going to give you what you really need because we understand who the judge is. Now, watch as he kind of wraps all of this up. We'll skip a few verses here, but this is what he is getting at. At verse 6, he says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that ye may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor one against another. Don't go beyond what is written. And all of that ties in. What kind of preacher do you want? What kind of Bible class teacher do you want? What kind of elder do you want? Anyone disseminating the word of God to you? What kind of person do you want? Someone who is not going to go beyond what is written. And the reason he doesn't is because he recognizes who his master is. I'm a servant of Christ. He recognizes what his responsibility is. I'm a steward of the ministries of God, of the mysteries of God. And that's how I ought to view myself as a gospel preacher. And that's how you ought to view every gospel preacher. And not just tolerate that sort of thing. Someone who is not going beyond what is written. You ought to be the kind of people that you yourself, you don't want to go beyond what is written. So you certainly don't want anyone preaching to you that's going to go beyond what is written. And you should be demanding that, not just tolerating that in a preacher or teacher, but demanding that. That's how you should view those who teach you the gospel of Christ. And in doing all of that, you may hear some things that make you mad. You may hear some things. You may be taught some things that make you uncomfortable. You may be admonished from time to time. You might be rebuked once in a while. You might find out you have to make some life changes. You might have to rearrange your schedule to put God first. Whatever the case is, it might be difficult sometimes, but that's what you want in regard to someone who is teaching you the gospel or the mysteries of God. What is your attitude towards those who preach the gospel? And what is my attitude towards others who preach the gospel and even towards myself? What kind of preacher do I want to be? Paul gives us a good outline here of what it is that we should be looking for. And if we follow his lead, then it will help us to be strong and to be properly fed and to grow in the faith. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You need to listen to what this word says. Don't just listen to men. A lot of men go beyond, men and women today, go beyond what is written and teach people something the Bible doesn't teach so far as salvation is concerned. Jesus said it in the most simple fashion in Mark 16 at verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized should be saved. That's the gospel truth. If you're not a Christian, you need to do something about that. You need to believe in Jesus. He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2 at verse 38. If you haven't been living the way you ought to be living, you need to repent of that and ask God for forgiveness. Pray God, Peter said to Simon in Acts chapter 8. And if you have sinned openly and publicly, why not come forward and confess that, make it known, simply so the congregation can pray for you and help you and encourage you in any way that we possibly can. But make sure tonight you're right with God. Don't leave this building in an undone condition. It's a dangerous thing to do something like that. And it's not necessary. You can be saved, and you can be saved right now. Come forward as we together stand and sing.